Joseph, the fighter, the MMA fighter who was a Navy SEAL. If you look him up,
Tim Kennedy, and he's a Green Beret.
He actually has an organization that's a company that does that kind of training all over the United States, and then for a great shooting house, so you can look up a shooting house, and then you can see what like a really super dope one is like. You want to look up the DARC, Direct Action Resource Center. And I only know about that because of the world of kettlebells, that the guy did it at that place, and he's one of the trainers there. What you're talking about is the real industry. It's an industry for the present, and it's going to be an industry for the future.
Yeah. All right, well, let's go back to this.
It's on TV, and they're like, I want that on my hat.
By the way, the initiative you're talking about is called Sheepdog.
Boom. Yeah, that's the shit, dude.
For everyone who just joined us, I forgot to go live at 5 when I was supposed to, but we're going to be talking about McMansion Hell.
House. And so they're not really aesthetically durable because they were built on these trends. And when the trends ran out, they would already be on to the third house or the fourth house because they were flipping in them and became millions of dollars. So, and according to Bloomberg now, these houses aren't selling very well. And houses that are smaller, you know, like normal people houses built for normal people, not giant cars to live in, are appreciating at a much higher and faster rate. And so we're going to move on to useful. What does it mean for a house to be useful?
There's three parts to what a home should be, that all the fundamentals of architecture have. And for those who are just listening, McMansions, which is where we're talking about, essentially have none of them. So durability, utility, meaning like it's actually useful for living in, and beauty. So mean like they look nice, they're useful for living, and they'll last. Like you would live in your house. You would die in your house, and then your kids would live in your house, you know, that kind of thing.
So there are primary uses for a house. One is to keep us, you know, out of the elements. Like you saw in the last example, it's not really doing a good job of that with the water damage and the missing deck. So the other purpose is, speaking of the elements, imagine trying to heat and cool that house. So you can't even stay warm or cool without spending millions of dollars. So, but most of all, a house is supposed to be our home. It's a place for our sanctuary and community and being one with our families. And in a space that is designed to where everyone has their own room and their own living room and their own dining room and their own pool table, you don't have to interact with any members of your family. So, trust me, I would have loved that in the seventh grade. But I think most of us are the well-adjusted people that we are because we've had to fight with our siblings and our parents and all these other things that come from living in a smaller knit space.
Absolutely. It forces you to calm down and get out of your ego and learn how to work with people. And that's 100% true.
And when you rob that sense of community from our homes, what real purpose do they have? But McMansions ignore both of these purposes to focus on a new purpose.
And that would be a good rental.
I would not stay there for rental. I want quality. Now,
I would submit Arcion and Broken Heart that I'm thinking that a lot of the laughter that's coming from this crowd is a little bit of that guilty, nervous laughter. that's not how I grew up. You know,
that's
like
not
that
my
kind
house.
Of. Totally. I'm getting a little of that feeling, you know, you just kind of hear that one or two nervous titters.
They're a little warbly in the voice.
Yeah, a little smugly chuckles in there, you know.
Well, I think it's that she's just kind of socially awkward, so they're just trying not to be mean.
Yeah. Well, and of course, I mean, yes, that as well.
And she doesn't seem like a bad person. She seems kind of nice, just, you know, not very pretty.
Was an asset. The house was now becoming, through a series of, you know, deregulatory economic policies, etc., a liquid asset. It was money. It was no longer a place to live, and it was separated from the sense of place and space that we know and consider our homes. And so beautiful. McMansions don't follow the rules of traditional architecture, but really love to use the icons and the symbols and the shapes of traditional architecture, like columns and window styles and box with the roof. Though the roof is 3 times as big as the box. And in this case, you can see none of the windows actually match. Some have muntins, which are the little bits that separate the panes of glass, and some don't. And most of all, it looks like it is a screaming animal.
It does look like that.
So, yeah, there's no regard for basic massing, scale, you know, the rules of architecture. Because they were designed mostly from the inside out. And mommy really needed her cathedral ceilings in the bathroom. And, you know, sometimes that meant you had a roofline that looked like this. So, okay, what's the point, right? Why do I even care about McMansions if they are so horrible? And why do I write about them? Well, it's about education. 60% of people, according to the U.S. Census Bureau, live in the suburbs.
Hey, can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, good. My mic is now plugged in. It got unplugged for a sec. Oh, stupid thing. Oh, can you still hear me?
I can still hear you.
Yeah.
Oh, nice and clear?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, sweet. Okay.
Not all of us have access to the fabric of our cities that have buildings from different eras and all of their beautiful details all interwoven into an urban fabric. Most of us have to live with, you know, McMansions. And so it's about teaching with what you have. And also, they're politically charged. They're attached to, they're sort of the poster child of the recession. And they are attached to concepts like urbanism and sustainability, you know, other things that make a better world. You might be still asking, okay, well, why not talk about, you know, good architecture? Well, why so negative? I started writing about architecture in high school to defend buildings like this. This is the Goshen Government Center by Paul Rudolph in Goshen, New York, which is undergoing what I like to call a murder. And so I discovered in the fight for preservation of late modernist and postmodernist architecture, which is the part that I like, if you are on the side of I don't like this, you have the advantage. People say, I like this. And like, okay. But if you say, I don't like this, then like, why? And if you don't know why, you're pretty much a jerk. And so, but that still gets people talking. That starts a discussion. And so in McMansion Hell, I saw this opportunity to, you know, exploit, because a lot of people hate McMansions, but they have no idea why, right? They're like, I hate that. It's big and it's ugly, but they don't know what is so ugly about it or why it seems so big. And that's sort of where I come in.
And that's kind of true. You know, when you look at it, you're like, that thing is hideous, but I don't know why. Like, it looks expensive as hell, but something about it just really rubs me the wrong way.
The uncanny valley of houses, I guess.
Yes.
Of mansions. The uncanny valley of mansions.
Yes.
And it brings me to my final point. It's about the greater purpose. So my professor at Peabody, where I study acoustics, has this saying that says the first step to good design is avoiding the bad. Then you can design the good. And the first step to avoiding the bad is recognizing the bad. It's about looking at the world through a critical eye. And the best part about being snarky is that you are automatically critical. And so people can say, avoiding the bad, right? You don't want a house that looks like the ginormous thing that's on the screen right here. This is literally the McMansion. It is a house that someone took to their little mouth and blew up into a balloon. It's like they took the nice house with the gable and... So, now if you know, I don't like that, and here's why I don't like that, then I can start thinking about encouraging other people and educating them about why I don't like that and they don't like that. And maybe through this sort of education and design, getting people who don't care about design to talk about design is another really huge step in perpetuating better design. And so through using America's ugliest, most hated houses, I mean, I'm
sorry. Oh, thank you.
We can...
Well, who's that?
Oh, I'll be right back.
Okay.
And talking about them in a way that introduces humor, so it's not, I'm shoving my good design down your throat, dang you. We can encourage people through discussion, through education, through empowerment, to be a greater force for change, and a change towards a more beautiful, a more sustainable, a more inclusive, and, you know, a better looking world. And, or at least prevent them from building more McMansions. Thank you.
That was the best thing I've ever seen.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
So well, what was that? What's going on, Donnie?
Oh, it turned out that you see the front house, a lot of times when anything gets physically delivered here, it'll hit the front house if they're there. And so they'll bring it back. The kids love coming over and being like, look, I've got a box for you. And it's like, yeah, they love it. It's very exciting for them. So I got like various survival based items.
Wait, hold on. I'm going to stop screen sharing. I want to see this. I want to see what it is. Hold on. Let me just also take it off of me alone. Okay. There we go. Okay. Go show them.
Oh, it was that I finally got my sort of my D bag that I plan to start getting everything. Oh, that's nice. Yeah. Start getting everything packed into for any emergencies and stuff like that.
You mean like when California tries to annex Oregon?
Totally, dude. When Washington finally yields and says, yes, let's just finally sweep up Oregon, California, and make this land nothing but trannies, you know, yeah.
Oh, God. But I'll show you something else, but first let's go to McMansion Hell.
Okay, yeah. Just, keep going. I'll stop playing.
Boogity, boogity. So this is kind of like a little thing that people talk about all the time. Look, can you see what this says, guys? Can you read that? Wait, hold on, let me just get out of that.
It said Mega Ultra?
Was it Mega Ultra Nub? Peel off coins. Baby nub. Off the
trim. Oops, peel off. Baby nubs. Oh, glory to Carl. Oh my God!
Oops! Oops!
God damn! This is rough, dude. Is this page you were talking about?
What?
Is this that page you were talking about?
Yep. All glory to the car hole.
Oh my God! That's hilarious.
Oh, and on this little overcrust. What? Oh wait, it says like these two parts are foam. This part right here and this part right here. Not even kidding. Oh God.
Oh shoot. That's terrible.
Ahoy mateys, because it has some weird pirate looking like thing right here. Yeah. Also
oh my God, what is it? Oh yeah, I see what you mean. Yeah, like portholes.
Yeah.
But I guess that's supposed to bring light into whatever that center atrium is or whatever.
Yeah. Oh, look at this. This is the most awkward window ever. Notice me, senpai. Oh, and this one says, did I mention an iDrive? Like I have more than one car. There are three are maybe three whole cars in here. Because, you know, there's multiple things or whatever, multiple garages. Oh man. Oh, this is funny. Mansion? McMansion. You see that? Donovan, can you see that?
There we go. Oh yeah. I just had to tell somebody something. All right.
Mansion? McMansion.
Yeah. Actually, I like this compare. Oh, gotcha. Okay. Yes. Of course. Now I'm totally understanding what they mean. See, yes, that beautiful symmetry compared to this totally like mutation. It's about to like be like Canada. I'm growing.
See, this is the scale. And this one's like, no more chicken wings.
Nailed it.
Hey, Broken Art, can you see any of this?
I'm looking, I found a couple of pictures on Google. I can't really see your screen, but I've seen some of these, and it's like, oh.
Okay. There's one that says Suco. Say stucco. Stucco, because that is so weird. Windows you could scrape off with a paint knife.
Oh.
Oh, God. Wait, something. Wait, it says something in something finance metaphor. This, oh, that's funny. Black hole.
No, totally. That's the one I was thinking. I'm like, that's funny.
Wait,
because I'm looking at a couple of these. A couple of these is just like there's like multiple tiny little roofs on top, like all like
for no reason.
It's just like what? Wait, what?
Yeah. Seriously, do any of these windows match? Oh my god. Oh, this is, I love this one. House value.
Oh my god.
That's 2000 to 2005. House value 2005 to 2006. House value 2008 to 2010.
You know, actually, I got to admit, only about a day or two ago, there was a story that did a recent comparison of the of, you know, all the prices and where they've gone recently in that part of the country, like in New York and upstate New York. And yeah, it's just ruthless. The price drop, it's just terrible now.
Oh, that's sad. If the year or 2002 was as an entryway. Okay, what even is going on here? Yeah, that's really confusing. Rare as fuck gavel, double a photo nub. Totally not awkward. You know that little weird roof right there? What the hell is that? It just so what why would you do that? Oh, little soul patch here. And
oh god. I love that it's soul patch.
Oh, this one is quite god the
fucking damn. This one is bad. Here, let me see if I can link it. Hold on.
Okay.
There's one with it's got like a tower, you know, like a medieval looking tower, not a medieval looking tower, but like a multi sided tower or whatever, and it just has windows straight all the way straight up and down. It's just like, holy shit, what is this thing?
Yeah. It says, we've done it. We've reached peak Pringles and Pringles can of shame. Oh, wait, Pringle. That's funny. We've done it. We've reached peak Pringles can of shame. So in other words, this looks like a Pringles can.
I'm sending it to you over Twitter, Arsene.
Okay, I'll get it in a second. Is this a grill? It does look like a grill.
I'll be right back.
All right. Mind the length. Yeah. There's literally at one point the house turns and goes super forward while the rest of it stays behind. And it's so weird looking. And wait, mind the gap. Oh boy. What is this? Oh, and the best part of this is like one part of it says a column. Oh my. This is just awkward for cars. Like literally, it has a balcony that's not even functional. It's too small to even work. This. Wait, hey, Donovan, are you back? Oh, okay. Well, hey, dude, I'm going to send you this picture over Twitter. You're going to be like, what?
Okay.
No, oh, shit. Let me just stop. One. Okay.
Column.
Look at this. Look, Donovan, look at this. Look at this. This is a balcony that has no purpose. This low. Do you see that?
I gotta admit that is something that gets to me. Oh, that makes me nuts. Is our bad balconies. It is really infuriating when you're like, why did you even tease the idea of, oh, look, I could look out over yonder, and you're like, oh no, there's I can't.
You know what's really funny? You know what's really funny? Even though functionally there's no reason to have that, like, because when you think about it, like, you know, you can't use it at any point. It's a great way to let burglars have something to latch onto when they want to break into your window. Yeah.
For real, yes. There you go. That's, yeah, nailed it.
Oh, man. Let me see if I can find the ugliest one. This is an abomination, but I'm going to show it to you, kids. Hey, kids, you want to see an architecture abomination? Jesus Christ. Oh, my God, this is so bad. This is so bad. Let me show you this. This is just going to make you go, ooh. Look at that. Tree of shame, because it has no purpose there. Windows at the top. Seriously, prairie ribbon and muttons needed to have some sort of government regulation on them. Somehow, people don't understand that pseudo-Mediterranean and track chick. This looks so ugly. Oh,
I gotta admit, that is outlandish looking. That is really very strange. And they almost got something like symmetry, but then once again, off to the far left there is just a big old lump of some extra part of the house or something.
Okay, let's cut that up. Well, it says buy it in the Transom expansion pack for just 3 payments of $99.99. And what they mean is, like, there's just these weird panels that have no windows on it for no reason whatsoever. Oh, that's so ugly. Oh, that's so... Oh, that is bad. Not basic inability line things up correctly. You can't even line correctly. How do you not line correctly? How do you even...
These are so strange. It's like they... I can't even quite understand what's wrong with them at times. Because of how weird they look.
But that's what's wrong with them in the first place. They make no sense. Like, this looks like a decent, okay kind of house. But, so ugly.
Oh, boy.
That is hideous. Yeah. I think they put the bottom bay window by mistake. What the hell? Why would you have that? And why? French door transform window. Also, that balcony code. Oh, look at it. It's the balcony. The pillars of the balcony aren't even aligned on top of each other. They're completely in two different looks.
What the hell? Oh, that's so bizarre.
That is so ugly, too.
What the fuck? Yeah.
And why
is that's like something built in, like, Fallout 4.
And this, you're supposed to have one garage. That's big enough for just one. Why do you need to show off that much? Jesus. Like, it's just, you know, I don't want to buy one of these houses, even if I could afford it. Oh, it's so gross. just making fun of the symmetry here. It doesn't exist.
Totally. Yeah. I gotta admit, now I'm getting where it would have been good if the speaker had made more examples of here is something, what the attempt was here. Here is the way that it looks when you warp it, like way too many Red Bulls and vodka or something, you know.
Oh, I see these all over the place and they're so ugly. Oh my God, why? Okay.
Wow.
Now I'm gonna look at what Broken Heart sent me, because I just want to see it. Oh, it's just so hideous. All this stuff. It's just like these people might have drawn these when they were little kids and they didn't know how castles worked.
Like, mommy, if this was a castle, this is what it would look like.
Yeah.
That's perfect.
What? See what? What? Broken Heart, what
is perfect, honey. Yeah, keep drawing.
Nothing wrong with that. It's just really cute. I'm going to put it on the fridge. Oh.
The best one I've ever seen. God.
Yeah, it's the best thing ever. Nobody's better. Oh man, wow, that is an ugly one. I gotta admit, Bogonar, that is, wow, that is bad.
What the fuck? That's not real. That's no way. That's totally a computer. No way.
It's real. I've seen it. I hate to break your spirits. I hate to break your spirits, but I know that one. I know that one.
That like hits you in the face with its ugly powers.
Like, how many fucking windows do you need? God damn.
That looks like a place where a witch takes away children to boil them and eat them alive.
Well, you know, that might explain, because you have this old like witch hermit or whatever who doesn't know what a house looks like, and so she like transforms this house into some fucking weird abomination and then lures children in.
Yeah. I just keep thinking that's like the kind of place that, like, when you are like the head of like sales in like really shady finance, like that's like a place you have for at least about 2 to 3 years, you know, until you flip it.
I think that's where, like, if you're like a member of the mafia who's like a don, and like you don't want to live in that house, but it's like maybe a safe house.
Yes.
No, it's so ugly that the FBI agents will never suspect us.
That house has hard bass party written all over it.
That's a frat house. That's a frat house.
Boom, 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 boom.
Do you think that's why Blazy Four thought her friend got raped? Because she went into one of those houses and her eyes got raped?
You know, actually, what's it called? What's his face? George Webb actually had all of the photos of all those places. Those are that older generation of like mansions from like the 30s and 40s.
Oh, you mean when they didn't start?
Well, they were like early big suburban homes, but like from like 30s and 40s. And then by the 80s, they would be like pretty big houses in a now more developed area.
So did they look decent at least?
Yeah. Some of them were actually like, you know, they look like, say, the houses you saw in The Godfather, like the smaller ones, you know, that they would drive to with like 2-car garage, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. But hey, this, just look at this shit. Oh, it's so ugly. Oh my God. But hey, you know what, Donovan, I hate to tell you, there's a reason why I'm depressed about this. Even though it doesn't, the backyard looks completely different. There's actually a house like this in my state of Wisconsin that looks exactly.
Oh my gosh.
Literally, a copycat mansion was created from a McMansion. Exactly like this.
Of course. Yes.
Oh, it's so bad. What is that tower for? That tower is exclusively a suicide and sniper tower. Like,
you know, the worst part is, I'm betting it's something like that. It's the spiral staircase goes up that to the second and third floors, but so there's no like room that is circular, that you know, because that would be something else if there was like, if you had like an office that was a floor and a half, or 2-floor office space, or 2-floor kitchen / dining room, like that. You know, they were like, okay, from the outside, this is uggo, but inside, this is actually a beautiful design. That would be one thing, but I'm betting it's just a spiral staircase.
Oh, God. Oh, it's so hideous. It's so disgusting. You know, I don't mind towers that have like some thin windows that you can only see so much out of, like old style brick kind that would have a spiral staircase, but that's only when it's on a decent building and when it's symmetrical. Like, you know, like maybe it's like, you know, like at the back of the favela or whatever, and the rest of the house is like, you know, made of decent materials and it doesn't look super modern. It looks old, kind of like an old cathedral. Or maybe it's even in the front of the house, you know what I mean? Like something like that, you know, but do you get what I mean? Like, it's thinner.
I mean, the thing is, like, I don't even really like, I mean, the modernish houses look kind of bad too. Like, a lot of modern, quote, modern stuff looks weird and...
Oh, yeah, that stuff's ugly as hell. But, oh, my God, that was hilarious. Thank you, Broken Heart. That was funny. Oh. What the hell?
All the windows, all the things.
Totally.
Oh, by the way, I do want to show you guys one more thing because I'm going to end this stream at 6. But here's how bad gun control is going to get. Your heart's going to fall. Oh, boy. Okay, so,
Wait, worse than England?
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah. We're getting there. It's getting close. It's going to get very close. Shoot. Okay, so here's something you're going to want to see. It's, It is honestly absolutely, so hold on. Let me just get to the correct video. I literally watched this today. Here it is.
Hey everybody, how's it going? It's the Daily Shooter, and you ready for a shocker? Less than 2 weeks into the new year, and with the Democrat-controlled House of Representatives, Senator Dianne Feinstein is introducing a new and updated assault weapons ban. This is going to go after your standard ARs. It's going to go after your AR pistols. It's going to go after pistol stabilizing braces, Thorsten stocks, and other items that are used to get around current assault weapons registration. It's going to go after any magazine more than 10 rounds, and it's just more and more and more of the same old stuff. But we're going to talk about it today. I'll let you guys know exactly what's going on. So let's go ahead and get started. And Feinstein. Okay, so what I'm going to do here is I'm actually looking at a press release directly from Dianne Feinstein's office. This explains exactly what they're attempting to do, what they're talking about, some of the provisions that are going to be in the ban, and some of the extra information like who is sponsoring it, who is co-sponsoring, and so forth. And the whole thing starts out by saying who led the way on this one. Obviously, we have Senator Dianne Feinstein. We have Chris Murphy, a Democrat. We have Richard Blumenthal, a Democrat. And then underneath that is a laundry list of other Democrats who are also co-sponsors.
Yes, Dianne Feinstein.
There's nothing fine about Dianne Feinstein.
And also, just so you know, I mean, at this stage, the president himself is questioning why Feinstein is not being investigated because of
Echo that I did there.
The president's already got, she's at the stage, she's about to earn a presidential nickname. So that'll be the end of it. Like this bill is so she can get other people to put their name on it. Then they will be like, look what I did. Vote for me for president. And then they'll get a bunch of womp womp levels of no fucking votes whatsoever. They'll just be such nobodies. And everybody will remember them only for the fact that they tried to ban all kinds of weapons. They're totally fucking up. This is a beautiful trap for them to get themselves into.
But hey, here's the thing. You want to know how the president could win every policy he wants? Just stop sending any money to social media. Because what a lot of people forget is that social media is heavily subsidized by the government, including Twitter. So much so that a judge was able to unban someone's Twitter account just because they decided that Twitter could be considered a government agency.
Well, I mean, all he would have to do is just switch to alternative social media things. Twitter would literally die.
I'm saying like he could just stop funding it. Like, because literally there's tons of subsidies given out that essentially gives them the ability to say whatever they want while knowing that there's no financial incentive to tell the truth. And
they have been decided. What they did is when they defended themselves in court, they defended themselves as a publisher. So they are basically like a newspaper or The Nation. So their publishing definitely has a quote unquote point of view. So they could say, oh, this person who is on our platform didn't share our point of view. That's why we banned them. And that's how they
get.
They're trying to play it as both. That's the game they're playing. Yes, they're trying to play
exactly.
Both.
They're trying to play both, and they can't. And Arcion's correct that there's a subsidy they receive by being a publisher, like probably that has to do with losses in a year or something like that. And it's just like, oh, they could just fuck these people. They fuck themselves actually doing this. They because of the way that they've now shown themselves to, well, are you guys a publisher or are you guys a platform that just allows the service of being a platform?
Yeah. Well, also, plus, I don't think that publishers of any kind of any kind of news source should ever be government subsidized, since they are for profit. A for-profit business should not be subsidized by the government. Maybe it could be given contracts for only things that the government directly uses and can refuse them if they don't want to do business with the governments. But that would be far different from getting a subsidy. So they can essentially do whatever they want and ban as many people as they want, just because they say, well, see, even if we lose money, we won't actually ever actually lose money. We'll just ask Big Daddy governments. But if all of a sudden Trump just stopped doing that, all of a sudden everyone that Twitter banned because they wanted the wall is now someone they need back because they make their money by having you interact with them and seeing all those beautiful, beautiful ads. And now they need you back. In fact, they might even say, we're sorry. I'm so sorry. Please take me back.
I mean, the thing is that the government already actually kind of does this to a degree. It's like, if you discriminate, like racially and stuff like that, the government, I don't think they're not supposed to, like, give you contracts and stuff like that. You can't, like, you can't be discriminatory.
Yeah, but I mean, they're not even giving them contracts. They're just giving them a set amount of money that they will already get.
Right, but I'm just saying is that, like, the government already kind of does this, I think. And it's just, like, because, like, for instance, like, the government wouldn't be giving, like, subsidies or, like, I don't know, money for books to, like, the KKK or whatever the fuck. Like, they're not going to do that. So, like, they can actually, if companies are discriminating against people, against the law and stuff like that, then they don't have to give them contracts. They don't have to give them anything.
Well, contracts aren't the same as subsidies.
Right, okay. But, I mean, what I mean is, like, basically, because it's public money going to
a private industry.
Yeah.
They could just say, hey, we don't have to give you that. And imagine if he did. Imagine all the people that the left pissed off. They threw rocks at them. They smashed on the door of Tucker Carlson and in the Supreme Court. They chased old men through the streets saying that they're racist, sexist, homophobe, whatever. They shadow banned them. They threatened them. They did everything. And they did all these things, and not one of them got convinced. And now, all of a sudden, Twitter has to survive on its own two feet and can't ban people because everybody they ban is someone who could make them money. And now, all of a sudden, boom, James Alsup, we're sorry we banned you from Twitter. We didn't mean to. That was it was just a prank, bro. I mean, come on. I mean, we're nice people. Come on back, please. We miss you so much.
Well, no.
Patreon's like, Lauren, we're sorry. We know we banned you, but please come back.
The thing is, none of... They're just doomed. They're totally doomed. What it is the only thing that the government has done is given them bandwidth. They own bandwidth. They own literally like this tremendous number of signal codes, that certain stuff is being carried on, and they have all the keys for that. But the government controls, I think physically controls a lot of the actual physical lines. So, and during Clinton's time, he handed a bunch of companies bandwidth and it became Google and then YouTube. And then there's other ones that eventually became Twitter and Facebook. And that's a big
No, I thought Google was laying down its own lines, though.
What?
Isn't Google, because from what I've been told, like, there was a guy
Google,
who...
I believe Google has started expanding into becoming a physical service provider on its own. It's trying to do that.
Because that's how they get around all the charges, because basically when you, like, from what I understand, like, somebody essentially who worked in, like, IT or whatever, essentially explained is, like, you and I, or, like, any other normal website, we have to go through, you know, there's a service provider, you know, Comcast or whatever the hell, right? Or what was it? The other ones or whatever. And then you have to pay through all that. What Google does is, and there's these nodes, basically these nodes for like a city and stuff like that between.
There we go.
And between those nodes, they don't pay for data transfer. And what Google does is they run their own line, and they don't have to pay between those nodes, and they just kind of transfer data between around the charges, basically. That's why they want net neutrality, like the whole net neutrality. Like, I think net neutrality is good, but the way Google is using it is being abused.
Because I just don't like the idea that the government could use any of that in the first place. You know, I like the world as the Wild West. Plus,
yeah.
If we also had an Internet Bill of Rights, now we'd be groveling to the government on something that originally started off as no regulation from the beginning to uphold our rights.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I do not want to give that kind of power to the government. I don't want an Internet Bill of Rights. I just want people to be able to go anywhere they can and do whatever without anyone else's permission.
Like, right now, the course Twitter and Facebook are going, they are going to fail. It's just that now they have to sell off. Will they sell off bandwidth? That's the big deal. Will they sell off the actual amount of bandwidth that they own so that other social media firms can actually get in the game, you know, and like be able to compete at the same level, or sell off also things like server farms? And you know, stuff like that, you know, like will they give up actual physical assets and what they use to keep their infrastructure going?
I would just start building a whole bunch of that stuff myself if I had enough money, and hook it up to the already existing internet, and I just pretend that it wasn't like for anything at all, or that I wasn't even setting it up, and then just give it away for free.
That's effectively what Google does. Again, Google connects directly to the nodes, which are free. Like, they have agreements or whatever, and they might actually be forced to transfer data for free. But between these nodes, and they connect between those, and they skip all of that.
Oh, yeah. But the point
that's actually what Google does, and that's how Google has an advantage.
I know, but I mean, what do you think about that though? Like, the idea of like Trump just saying, well, you're a private company. I don't think we should be giving subsidies to a private company, you know, and they just do that from all social media, because let's be honest.
Well, to people who are discriminating, you'd have to do it on something like, you know, people who are, you're discriminating against, you know, U.S. citizens on the basis of this.
It's already in the courts. This is already actually happening. There's so many lawsuits right now against Facebook and Google specifically.
Yeah, do you mind? So what I'm saying is that could be the reason why, but I don't think it should be these companies have to pay money. I think it should be that Trump just says, well, like, you know, he could use the whole discrimination thing, but just simply say, hey, I'm not going to ask you whether you'll change if I take away this money or not. I'm simply going to take away this money and use the fact that you've been discriminating against people as kind of my technical reason in courts, but in reality, I just don't want to give you social media companies any more money. You know, that if you're a private business, you should only be getting private dollars. You know, that we shouldn't have to bail you out ever at all. And if he did that, I mean, these companies would have to let everybody on their platform that they could, beyond a few, one or two people who actually might be terrorists. If you did that...
Well, they allow terrorists. They fucking allow terrorists and terrorist sympathizers on Twitter.
Yes, but that's because they have government subsidies, so they don't have to care. But I'm saying if you took those away, and imagine how many more people would be able to be free to say whatever they want and wouldn't be banned, and their ideas will be exposed, and all that hate that's been of all that anger that's been hit down with, like, you know, with a hammer by Twitter and Google, all that anger that people have, you know, that they've been told, hey, don't talk to us about this. Don't resolve your issues. Just be quiet.
Well, no, I mean, they've screwed the pooch. They killed the goose that laid the golden egg. They needed to pull a profit off a long time ago with YouTube, and now they've proven with something like stream.me that the market is there. Gab has proven that the market is there and it's possible. And now I guess Subscribestar has returned to the game. And a lot of this really is coming down to lawsuits, and that you aren't allowed to play favorites at all sorts of levels of the market itself, such as like MasterCard and stuff like that. So a lot of this is going to solve itself. Trump should not actually say a damn word.
I think he should just defund them, because imagine if he just waited till like towards the beginning of his actual re-election.
Just listen.
If he did that, and then he actually succeeded in getting the courts to no longer give these private companies money, do you think that the wave of red would be able to be held back by Twitter's ideology? They wouldn't be able to. It would immediately, they'd be letting everybody they possibly could on, and then all of a sudden, everybody who was told to shut up and forced to shut up now can talk. And they're mad. And the only thing that the elites had was they didn't debunk or make anybody look bad. All they did was just tell people to shut up.
Well, I mean, the right owns YouTube.
Yeah.
Technically. I mean, it just does. Like, the left knows this. Even Vox.com writes about it, that they cannot keep up with the sheer popularity of content and good content that comes from the right end of
at least
the,
in the political sphere. I mean, this is aside from like the cat videos or whatever, makeup or videos.
PewDiePie.
And that people who would watch, say, standard, what would be classified as classical liberal. I've been looking at a few people who have actually diagrams of this stuff, like Tim Pool and I think Coach Red Pill have talked
about this. And Dave Rubin, right? Dave Rubin is also classical.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. And that those people, the likelihood that you watch Stefan Molyneux, that you watch Hard Bastard, that you watch a number of rather, you know, indelicate people is very, very high. Like, Young Turks fans do not watch anything from the right. The right will be aware of what the Young Turks say via watching somebody like the Hard Bastard cover them. And so there's really a cultural change that's shifted. The all these companies are doing, they're only covering it up. They're doing everything they can. Zoe Quinn no longer looks good nude. So she has to be hired to cover
She no longer looks okay, and it's not the end of the world if you just say yes for one night nude. Let's be honest, she never looked good.
I mean, I couldn't see those photos terribly well earlier. I was like trying to, I'm like, oh, you know, my glasses, you know, but I mean, she, you know, now she's hired, you know, to make sure that nobody writes bad stuff about Marvel Comics being too, you know, tranny-tastic, you know.
Really shut down the stream now, guys. Okay.
You gotta go. Yeah.
Yeah. But hey, watch this video on your own, because when it comes to what the Democrats are asking for, they're actually asking for magazines to only be allowed to be like no more than 10 rounds per magazine for rifles, all of them.
Yeah, they're idiots.
I know.
Can you link this in Twitter, by the way, Arsene?
Sure, yeah, I can absolutely do that. But hey, guys, my name is Arsene, and I am the Angel of Objectivism. And these guys are absolutely hilarious. I would definitely call you guys some of my best friends, you know, at least internet-wise. And hey, Donovan, did you open up that mailbox yet?
Oh no, actually, I'm gonna just send you my address. I it's not that big of a deal. I don't think you're gonna send me some horrible, terrible thing that's going to destroy the place. Yeah.
That's okay. Yeah. Hey, by the way, I have some bodies left over from Jeffrey Dahmer's house. You want to get some of those?
You're gonna need something to hide this really big package, though. It's.
And you need a bunch of fucking lime or some shit to cover this.
Yeah. Oh, it's a Christmas tree. I promise. Yeah, it's from my friend.
All right.
Or fellas. At least in Jeffrey Dahmer's case, it's a bunch of sex toys.
Oh, God. Oh.
But, Donovan, you want to look at the video itself. But thank you, guys. Everyone subscribe to these two beautiful guys. No homo. And I will see you guys later. Have a good one.
Later.
Bye.
Bye.